WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We call these things wise conversations. And, you know, a lot of times when I have my wise guests on, I bring the ice cream on and the ice cream melts. And it's going to be 90 this week for Preakness. I can't have my ice cream melt. So I got my ice cream scooper out. And it is always great to chat with one of our wise friends, Dennis Curtin, joining us now from Wise Markets, having some fun. Hey, man, how are you?
I'm living the life, Nestor.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I know we're not doing grilling in this segment, but we moved out to the county and the whole thing was about getting a grill and grilling out. So like eating is primary to me right now. So it's great to have you on.
Yeah. We're based. We moved from mild winter straight to summer. And all of a sudden you can see it in how people are buying meat and they're buying a lot more grilling items. So, I mean, with the seasons, the changes in the seasons, there are changes in the way people eat.
There's no doubt about that.
And school year, all of a sudden it's dinner with the family. It's just.
Well, last week I did one of my favorite things, fresh produce and all the colors and all the greens. This week you're going to tell me about other kinds of vegetables and produce and other stuff. I'm in the frozen aisle all the time because, you know, I'm always getting ice cream, right? And by the way, I've just decided vanilla bean. I'll go on and on about all the specialty flavors. Vanilla bean's underrated, I'm just going to say, because that's what I have right now and I'm enjoying it. But the frozen food aisle, you've come on in the past and talked about this, but this is an important month at Wise and what you're doing with frozen foods, right?
A couple of things. First off, we talked about frozen a couple of months ago. March is National Frozen Food Month, one of the great obscure holidays of all time. But it emphasizes, you know, the quality and the value and the sheer variety. We look at supermarkets and we say, well, you know, it's the same old, same old. There's not much innovation there. When in fact, the opposite is true. The food processing and manufacturing production, it has been a story of relentless innovation. And you see that in the frozen aisle. You know, it waned in the 70s when the quality wasn't there. And then the microwave showed up. And the next thing you know, the frozen aisle takes off. And today we have 3,700 items in our frozen department, including Wise Quality ice cream. But you have entrees, portion controlled. You're talking about fruits and vegetables. And there's nothing like fresh produce. But the frozen produce, berries, peas, vegetables, the whole nine yards, they're flash frozen. And it used to be back in the day that they would lose their nutrients and sometimes their flavor. Today, that's not the case. I mean, you take them out of the, like, bird's eye steam fresh vegetables. They're terrific. And you would be hard-pressed to tell if they were frozen or if they were fresh.
Well, I would say this. I grew up in a house, and my wife and I, two different households, but similar backgrounds, similar kind of families and the way we ate and our diets, to be really honest. But my parents were always frozen vegetables back. And I would notice the difference back then, but I watch a lot of Food Network. I think we talked about this because I do love food and I like business and I'm dying to get up to the factory and have some ice cream because COVID hasn't allowed me to do that as our relationship, but I'm going to get up to Sunbury at some point and do all that. But seeing the science behind what can be done with a piece of broccoli, what can be done with a pea. And I would say for me, and I'm not a brand shopper, but I would say, like, when I see Nathan's fries that I've loved all my life and I see them in the frozen aisle, which I've done at Wise before, and I pick them up and I bring them home and I make them at home, they're identical, better, the same in my own kitchen. I can make them crispy if I want. I can, like, and I have learned that my 1970s upbringing, the things taste better and that you can not just trust it, you can trust that it's going to taste great. And I think I've seen that from seeing these factories. And you mentioned flash frozen. I don't really even know what that is. I just know that it allows the food to taste great.
What it means is they get the product at peak freshness. They freeze it quickly and efficiently, and they've refined it so that they're not draining the flavor or the nutrients. And that is the big evolution. So, I mean, frozen, you go Italian, Chinese, Thai, Indian, portion control meals, healthy
meals. My wife
meals.
Picked up spring rolls in the frozen food. I literally the other day she picked them up. Should I pick them up? Let's see how they are. You know, it's always, man, let's see how they are. We'll put them in the oven, see how they are. We picked up these delicious hand pies. They were, I want to say Martha Stewart. I like,
could be.
And we made them 2 weeks ago and they were outrageously delicious.
I won't say like DiGiorno pizza is really good. I mean, is it the same as going to a pizza parlor? Maybe, maybe not. But they're really good. They're really accept- like in the 70s, it was a coin toss as to which tasted better, the frozen pizza or the container it came in. Today, I mean, it's really good. It's acceptable. You sit there and you go like, hey, that's pretty good. I'm pretty happy.
Listen, I read your ads and we talk about low pricing, you know, as being part of this. We talk about rewards programs and gas and hams and all of this stuff. There's also a low price element here because, as we used to say, you get a bag of peas anywhere, right? Here, there, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
But the one thing I would say that I've noticed, and this is grocery store to grocery store, right? Like freezer burn on various things, no bueno. We all know that. But the care of frozen foods and how they 10 minutes with ice cream outside, you know this, it doesn't taste the same, it doesn't consist the same. And keeping things frozen is so, so important, right? I mean, it's hard work keeping frozen things frozen.
Yes, it is. And we're doing a much better job. I mean, just over the last 20 years of keeping that supply chain, you know, every step of the way that there are no imperfections. So it gets to the shelf the way it's supposed to be, the way it's supposed to be for the customer. And that has the person who oversees frozen for us said the other month that frozen is sort of the unsung hero of recent years because it's, lots of people are taking up cooking, but there are a lot of people who don't have time to cook, and frozen sort of fills that gap. You know, it's flip it into the microwave. You have a quality meal. Kids are happy. You know, you live your life, and that's why we think frozen is a good place to sort of extend our low price program. We started this a couple years ago in the grocery aisle. About 7,000 products. And what it's designed to do is to be the lowest everyday price in the market. Now, somebody might have a sale now and then, but I mean, sales are a couple of days, a week at most. But with our low price program, it's day in, day out, week after week, month after month. And we know pricing, we know the prices out in the market, and we know what's the low price of the market. So we put it on 7,000 products, did very, very well. But a year and a half ago, we extended it to produce, 70 items, same thing. The items that you buy, you know, bananas are the top selling item in a supermarket, let alone the produce department. And, you know, we lower the prices, get 2 pounds, 49 cents a pound. That's a great price.
I love how you just sneak knowledge in on me like that. Like, because I'm thinking, bananas?
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing everybody buys. And
yes.
I would, you know, it leads me into the thing about fresh versus frozen. The more – I love these conversations because I think about things I haven't even thought about, but – things go bad, right? Like bananas, I don't say I've wasted them. My wife will throw them in the freezer and say, well, we'll make banana bread, right? Or, you know, whatever. we'll throw it into oatmeal or something, right? I don't like overripe bananas. And the thing about fresh is, and I get through my blueberries and strawberries and raspberries before they go usually. This week, I traveled a little bit. I lost a few strawberries. But frozen, you don't lose, right?
No,
that would be the reason to say, well, the broccoli goes bad if you don't eat it in the first 5-6 days or you don't have storage or wherever, you know, frozen holds up. That would be the unsung hero part of this, right?
It does. And I'm not saying it's going to hold up forever, but it will hold up for an extended period. So that's why we extended our low price program to frozen. We're starting it on May 19th. And if you check out go to wisemarkets.com and check out our ad. We're also putting circulars out throughout the next month or so. You'll see great low prices on our frozen. Some of our high volume items that really sell, Marie Callender meals, DiGiorno pizza, Klondike ice cream bars, which are a weakness of mine.
I keep looking at them.
So, yeah, I mean, it's it's just, it's, we're planting our flag on another beach, the frozen beach, trying to get our prices, deliver low, low prices to our customers. And we know right now it's a tricky time. I mean, prices have surged. But if we can sort of guarantee that low price every day that people can depend on, that's a good thing for our customers and it's a good thing for our business.
Dennis Curtin is here. He does all things Wise Conversations around here. We always have them with him, but they usually end with ice cream. And I think that this one's going to end with the ice cream scoop because we can't talk frozen without talking ice cream. And you know what? I don't brag enough about the pricing because I'm just not, I like quality and I'm willing to pay for that. The ice cream aisle, every time I go in and I look through new things, the cotton candy, birthday cake, all of that stuff, I'm amazed that you've, and with inflation, we can all talk about it costs more to go to everywhere right now, right? But you keep your ice cream priced at a point where I look at it and it's almost like old-fashioned pricing sometimes when I look at how much ice cream we're getting and what we're getting. But you love to brag on the ice cream. So I want to give you a chance to do that because this is the point where I weasel my way into Sunbury at some point because I feel like I'm going to be like Augustus Gloop wasn't and Willie. I feel like I'm going to dive into the vat. But you make a lot of ice cream up there and it's a whole aisle in every Wise and there's some billion flavors to pick from, but you really wind up pricing that at a point where it's $3. I'll pick one up. Yeah. I'll have some peach. I'll have some chocolate, whatever you're into. Right.
Right. And when you, and oftentimes we'll do a 2 for $5, you know, 2 48-ounce containers for $5 when we're in a promotional mode. We make our own ice cream here in Sunbury, as you noted, we do 60 to 70 flavors. You probably wouldn't be surprised to know that our number one best-selling, flavor is vanilla, which
just regular vanilla, not vanilla bean, not French vanilla.
No, it's vanilla. And pretty much every ice cream manufacturer has the same story to tell. I've heard people say, no, it's chocolate. And the ice cream guys say, no,
God, I feel vanilla. Like we live in such a rocky road world, right? You know, I really do. Right. We live in a butterscotch ripple world.
Yes, we do. And we sell plenty of that. And people are gravitating to all sorts of flavors. But I mean, ultimately what we do with our ice cream, I mean, the cream literally comes from our dairy plant, like that's right next door. And all the milk that we source comes from local farms. In our case, farms that are within 50 to 75 miles of our dairy plant. So as we've said many times, as I've said on your show many times, we were local before local was cool. You know, when local stops being the next best thing, and I'm not sure it will, but if it does, we'll still be local after that.
That's why we're doing Baltimore Positive. Dennis Curtin here from Wise Markets. I got my scooper. I got my drinker. I did not bring the ice cream onto the set. I've learned some tough lessons as the weather gets better that we don't want to waste the vanilla ice cream. Or in this case, my wife's gotten into the peanut butter indulgence, which is like the pretzely, chocolatey peanut butter things. And I've butterscotch rippled. And it's seasonal, which I think's wrong, and I need to talk to – do you know anybody in charge around there? I mean, seasonal should not – butterscotch ripple should not be seasonal. But so you ran out of it, and I wound up going to three different stores, and I finally found it over – I call it the Barn Store because I did shows at the Barn there a million years ago. It's a German joint now. But it's at Joppa and Harford, and I found the butterscotch ripple. There were like three of them in there, and they were like in the back kind of like sequestered, and – I said to my wife went to checkout. We were like, we're just going to pick up a couple things. We need some raspberries. Stop by. And I disappeared, which she knows that I went to the ice cream. I mean, literally, when I disappear at the grocery store, she finds me. We convene at the end in the ice. That's how we found those pie pockets. Yeah. So we convene in frozen foods, strangely enough, as this segment is. But she went ahead of me. And I came, you know, tarrying behind, carrying it, because I carry it like a basketball in my hand, you know. And she's like, put it up there, you know. So I put it up there. So I have butterscotch ripple right now. But I think it's the last time. It's going to be like eggnog or pumpkin. You know, you're going to take it away from me, and then I'm going to be clawing to get it next February.
Well, we'll bring it back next summer, most likely. So, you know.
Well, don't be like that chain ice cream factory and have like where they have a graveyard for flavors. Don't put butterscotch ripple in the graveyard.
I'll mention it to the gang at ice cream. So, you mentioned
you need to know people at Wise if you want to get butterscotch ripple added in.
So, quick thing, you mentioned a brewery tour of Maryland. Tell me about that.
Well, listen, so I'm doing, you know, I did 30 crab cakes in 30 days. And you and I got into it last year about Antietam and Western Maryland and different things to see and where there are Y stores in Frostburg. And I visited, and it's up a hill. And God, it was hot that day. So we had so much fun, but we didn't eat every crab cake. We didn't go everywhere. We saw places like Swallow Falls, west of Oakland. And we had meant to go out to the Little Rock where Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Maryland. There's the most western point in Maryland that's really sort of on the West Virginia cliff, but you can drive there, take a picture. We didn't do it. So all of these things we didn't do, and the few things we did were like, I would come back, or, hey, we should spend more time here, or maybe we don't want to be in Antietam when it's 103, and right. You know what I mean? Like, so we're going to go back and do different things. And I had I want to credit Len Foxwell, political operative here from the Eastern Shore, who's a brewery guy. He and Francho did things forever. Francho's running for governor. They've always been into the brewery thing. So I started to scratch my head and think, then – Hugh Sisson, who's a legendary cat here in Baltimore, the first brewer in Baltimore who fought for all the laws and all the changes, and he did a Ukrainian benefit the week after the war started.
Okay.
A Ukrainian brewery had been bombed. They were using their bottles for Molotov cocktails in the factory. They gave their recipes out to the world and their markings and said, you want to support us? You know, wrap our beer around your wrapper and support Ukraine. So we did a huge Ukrainian benefit, and I started talking about beer all of a sudden. And I thought, the reason I did this Baltimore Positive thing was to support some small businesses, local businesses, do all that. What's better than going around the state? And everywhere we went last year, we passed breweries, and we're like, I didn't know that was there. Why I didn't know it was there? It was either a road I'd never been on, or I was on that road 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and there weren't breweries in the state, right? So we're going to go around, support local business, county to county. They're all over the state, and beer goes with crab cakes. I mean, it was a pretty good idea, I thought, right?
And the brew pub phenom, I mean, it started in the 90s, but it's really exploded in the last 10 years.
Well, yeah, I used to tell Hugh, I felt sorry for him. He made that beer that, like, it was a little flat 30 years ago, 40. You were talking about science and the science of making beer and all, and the science of making ice cream and frozen foods and all these things. But I said to him years ago, I'm like, I never thought it would catch on. I thought the Bud Miller Coors and the lager, that was, here comes the king, and I was sponsored by all that. I just thought you're always going to have a hard time with a niche thing. And now we're into a world where niche, local, different. Yes. But that being said, people eat vanilla ice cream, as you pointed out.
it's still a balance of both. I mean, you're talking about like TV networks. I mean, TV news, they have half the audience that they had in the 90s, but they still have a big audience. You know what I mean? It's just all over the map. And the local brewing craze, it's a big thing in PA. We sell beer in about 75 locations, maybe 80. I don't have the exact numbers at my fingertips. But it's not unusual for one of the best sellers at like one specific location to be beer that's canned by the local brewer, two blocks away or a mile away. I mean, it's just
– even if they're in Pittsburgh, I'll accept that. Out of season, not in season. You know, my sports guy in me. But the local brewers, I mean, this has become something that everyone has experienced and really enjoys. So it's going to be something we're going to feature. Mm-hmm. Dennis Curtin, I love having you on. I love our wise conversations. I promise to not let – I'm not going to let my butterscotch ripple melt. I'm not going to bring it up here. I'm saving it for special occasions, and I'm scooping it in the scoops. I really appreciate the time, as always, and the support and everything you guys do to keep us afloat here at Baltimore Positive.
Great being with you, Nestor.
Frozen Foods, it is the low prices of Wise that I talk about here all the time. You can find that, the ice cream, and even frozen pizza if you go to any of our participating Wise locations. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. I'm wearing the new Window Nation shirt, new sponsors, as well as our friends at Goodwill, who gave me this little bus to remind me that I need to get actually a truck because I've been cleaning my place out the last 3 weeks. And our friends, of course, at the Maryland Lottery, letting ourselves play. This week, the land of Kush, our first ever vegan crab cake. We're doing it at the Land of Kush on Wednesday. Got great guests coming by. Through Vignaraj and Brooke Learman, famous vegans, are coming by, and Kirby Fowler from the Maryland Zoo talking about booze brew at the zoo. is for you. It's next weekend. My wife and I are going to be at the zoo, at the Maryland Zoo. Kirby Fowler is going to be joining us at the Land of Kush for vegan crab cakes. Yes, it's true. I'm Nestor. The things you learn around here. We are BaltimorePositive.com.